Well, last summer, I had an argument with a magazine salesman on my porch. Now, I'm not an arguing guy. I don't usually argue with salespeople. In fact, if you want to know, I'm the pushover of our family. If you send a little kid to sell me anything, I just start screaming, "Michelle, I need money," because I will not say no. I'm terrible about that. But I remember last summer, and I remember this conversation, and I know all of us, when we remember conversations that have happened, we probably try to make ourselves the hero, so hopefully I'm not doing that. But there were certain parts of this conversation I just can't forget, and I kept thinking about over the past few weeks as I was preparing, because I remember it was late in the evening, it was summertime, so it was still barely light, but it was probably close to 8 o'clock, and I had just got off work, I remember, because I was still in my paint clothes, and I'd worked 13 plus hours that day. And the doorbell rang right as we started eating dinner, which, oh, that's so exciting, because I don't know about your doorbell, but our doorbell doesn't ring very often. And so my wife used the long-standing rule. She said, "I'm wearing sweatpants and I don't have makeup on, so you have to go answer the door," which is how the matriarchy holds us down. But I was like, well, I'm excited to go answer the door because I'm sitting down to eat and I'm covered with paint, but okay. So I go to the door, and there's a guy there at the door, and past him, I could see in our neighborhood, like a little bit down the street, a van, and I went, oh, I know what this is. And I saw people in khaki pants and matching t-shirts, and I was like, oh, this is the magazine people. But what he said to me is, he said, and I don't know if you've had this sales pitch, but this has happened several times at our house over the last few years. He goes, "Hey, I just want you to know I'm not here to sell you anything. I'm just out like learning how to be successful. You want me to be successful, right?" And I went, yeah, because they get you saying yes. And then he's like, "What do you do for a living?" I was like, "You have to ask. I'm a painting contractor." And he goes, "You want to be successful, and I want to be successful like you are." And so he said, "What I'm doing," and they go into this spiel about how they need to learn to meet the public and speak in public. And so their boss sends them out to talk to homeowners to learn to speak in public, but they're not there to sell you anything. And I said, I think you are here. And I never do this, but I literally go, you're trying to sell me magazines, right? And he goes, no, I'm just learning to speak in public, and I need you to sort of grade my performance. And at the end of this, then you can tell me how well I did. And I said, but the way I'm going to vote for you doing well is buying magazines, right? Because we've been through this before. And he was like, no, seriously, just listen to this. And I just, and then I went further because I was getting annoyed. And I don't remember exactly how it went, but I was like, listen, we don't have a magazine in the house except like some old one stored somewhere, and we don't have any subscriptions, and if I wanted to read a magazine, I would read it on my iPad. And so even if it's free, at the end of this, if this is about magazines, and I remember saying kind of like, you know, "It's not you, it's me," you know, and I was like, at the end of this spiel, if this is about magazines, I'm not buying one. And then he said these words to me that I can't forget. He said, "So if people don't buy magazines, then what's a magazine salesman supposed to do?" And I was like, "Don't sell magazines." And our conversation went on a little back, a bit past that, but it was interesting because I thought about that question that he had for me, and it actually went a little further because he was like, "You know, well, what should I sell?" I go, "I don't know, not magazines." And I even told him, I said, this is where it went a little off. I said, "You're a pretty good salesman because I wouldn't come to your house and bother you during dinner." I think I stole that from Seinfeld, but you obviously are a good salesman to come to my house, but sell something different. But he sort of walked away a little aggravated with him because his idea was like, how am I going to make a living if people don't buy magazines? And I think it's a good question because I think time is probably asking that same question, right? I had to Google, like, is time still in business? I had heard they went out of business, but the truth is they're still laboring along. To give you an idea, Time Magazine, maybe the most iconic magazine of our time, if I can, started in 1923. At one point in the 80s, we just saw a Time Magazine advertisement from 1987, which wasn't that long ago. That was the year I graduated from high school, so it couldn't have been that long ago. But the thing about Time Magazine, at one point, there was about 150 million Americans and 27 million households subscribe to Time. So, I mean, you can imagine like what a market share they had at one point. The last sort of record I can find is from 2017, and their subscription was down to 2 million, which have to be all dentist office, right? Because that's the last time you saw a Time magazine was at the dentist office. And I love that they were giving away a free phone, and it was a push-button phone too, which was a big deal. It was a push-button phone, and it was brilliant because you could keep your contacts right there, and it had a clock. I mean, it seems like a good idea, right? But it was funny because, oh, and by the way, if you want that free phone, I know some of you are like, well, where do I get one? I found one on eBay for you. You can actually get one. The free phone is for sale. And look, it's not even out of box. But if you notice down at the bottom, my favorite part is, would you like to add a 3-year protection plan? I dare someone to buy that. And Tyler was saying, like, and then just let it break and go, hey, I'm going to need a new one of these, you know? Like, that would be... But anyway, if you want, but here's the thing. It's tempting to say, because I said this to that magazine salesman, I'm like, no one subscribes to magazines anymore. Now, that's not entirely true, but it's sort of true, right? Like, magazine subscriptions, that's, I don't know if you have any Time Inc. stock or whoever owns them now, I'd sell, because that's not exactly the business you want to be in anymore, right? Because it seems sort of silly almost at this point. Like, so, wait a minute, you're going to print up the news that's like a month and a half old, and then you're going to bring it to my house on paper? You know, like, I could have my daughter do that from the printer every night if I really want to read paper. It just seems kind of silly. Like, why would we do that? It's past its time. And it's so tempting to just go, no one cares about magazines. That's what I kept screaming on my porch. But here's the thing. It's not really true. Because even though magazine subscriptions are way down, and yes, that's Bono with a mullet. He rocked it well in the 80s. That's a 1987. Like, we still want what Time magazine had to offer and has to offer. You know, we still want news updates. Ironically, we get them on our phone, which is funny. They were offering sort of the combination, just in a little different package, you know, and we want photos. And think about this, it's so weird because, like, sort of how things have changed. Like, there was a time when you wanted a photo, you'd go, well, newspapers have a few grainy black and white photos, and you know, if I'm going to see a photo of anything, I will get a magazine. Like, I used to subscribe to car magazines because that's where you saw car pictures. You know, that's if you wanted a photo of a cool car, you had to get a car magazine. But we still want those things. And we even want opinion. I mean, think about all the opinion that we subscribe to on our phones now, and entertainment, of course, and information, and pop culture. Like, all of the things that this magazine offered us in 1987, or even almost 97, it was starting to go downhill at that point. But in 2018, we want all of the things it offers. It's just not the format. Same with the phone. Like, we still want push-button phones, right? Push-button phones are not really. We don't want push-button phones. We learned about that last week. It was funny that Josiah was talking about the iPhone last week, and I'm like, I got a phone for you, and it's even more old school next week. But we still want phones. Obviously, that hasn't changed. We want to communicate. And digital clocks, oh yeah. I love that that was a big feature, like it even has a digital clock on there. That was amazing. And we even want organized contact lists, right? It's just all inside of our phone with a few million other things that we can do. But I was thinking about this, like, we want all of the things that are offered through Time magazine when they were at their heyday. We want all of that information and all of those photos, and we want all of that. We just want a different format. And we still like the phone. In fact, it's more important than ever. And oh boy, do we want to subscribe to things. Like, subscriptions are not dead. It's just magazine and newspaper sales, because we subscribe to everything. If you think Josiah is so right, like, if you look at our, you know, credit card statement, there's just like $5, $9, $7, $5. And it's always like, whenever that happens, we're like, who ordered that? And I always say, I didn't. You know, no matter what it is, I'm like, I didn't. I have like channels there was a Cartoon Network thing that we wanted to watch one thing on. I can't even remember what it was, like 9 years ago, and it was running forever. I don't know how many $100s I spent for a one-time use like that. But we love to subscribe to things. And that's not just Netflix and Hulu. I mean, there's, you know, how many podcasts do you subscribe to? I've got a dozen. And it's not just that. Then Spotify, we subscribe to music and food. And here's some of the, I was just doing some research this week about the multi-billion dollar subscription industry in the U.S. is exploding. Here's some of the most popular subscriptions, and you can see where you line up in there. Actually, it's kind of interesting. The top three subscription services are Ipsy, Play, and Birchbox, which are all makeup, so I guess that's a thing. I buy my makeup somewhere else, but go wherever you want. Home Chef and Blue Apron, big, so we're subscribing to meals. I don't understand this one. A really big one is Gray's. Like, that's a snack company. Like, yeah, I might forget to eat snacks if they don't come directly to the house. You know, I don't understand that one. If you do, that's cool. We have Mr. Box is a big one. Coffee. Bulu Box. I didn't think of this. People subscribe to vitamins and supplements. There's numerous clothes subscriptions like Stitch Fix and that they send curated clothing to your home. That's a big one. I don't know if anybody subscribes to that. But I was looking at these things, like even categories that we don't subscribe to yet. We probably will. I was like, well, I never even thought that you could subscribe to FabFitFun is all like exercise and I would never use that one. Exercise gear would never happen. We have Bespoke Post. Yeah, it's Bespoke Post if you don't have enough trendy crap and you're a man. We have Dollar Shave Club, so we subscribe to razors, and Owl Crate, which is subscription reading for children. I mean, it's amazing. Like, it goes on and on. They were talking about how many multi-million dollar and billion dollar ideas and companies that are just the subscription thing, and that doesn't even account how many things you subscribe to on Amazon, right? Like, I don't know how many of those we do. We subscribe to coffee and toilet paper, you know, stuff you use. It's going to go hand in hand some morning. So you like coffee and toilet paper and paper towels and all the necessities of life that you subscribe and save. And so Americans love subscriptions, and we've never actually bought more of them. Because we feel, obviously, and we're willing to pay for it, that some things are even more valuable on a regular basis. Like, yeah, it's valuable to have, you know, Netflix and go home and watch that, but it's something you want to have available at all time, and products that you want to come on a regular basis. And we'll talk in the upcoming weeks as we talk about subscription. The reason why the subscription companies want you to subscribe is they know two things about you. It's really hard to stop subscriptions. And if you notice, like, it's super easy to subscribe to something, and then they're like, if you would like to unsubscribe, then you have to like send a self-addressed stamped envelope to Pueblo, Colorado, and then make a call with a code. You get back. It's crazy. So they know that. And they also know about Americans, like, we're really bad about sending stuff back. And I know that's true. Like, I'm like, we don't really want it. I don't know what it is, but I do not want to go to UPS. That would be a pain. So let's just keep it. But there is value in subscribing to things. And so that's kind of the idea that we're going to talk about this month as Christians, as people who come to church. You came to church this morning as this idea, and there's sort of two meanings of subscribe, and so a little bit of a play on the word, being a little bit cutesy here, but I'm not really talking about the kind of subscribe which means to agree with a teaching, even though that fits here. I actually want to talk to you this month about the value of subscribing to the ideas of Christianity, to actually buying in, to actually going, I want that on a regular basis in my life. And in fact, most of it is not something that's a one-time, one and done. And as a church, this is our anniversary month or our birthday month. As a church, we've been asking you to subscribe to things for over 10 years now, just saying, hey, what if we loved God and we loved people and we did that in such a way that it sort of motivated us to take action? I'm so glad Kathy talked about that this morning. The idea of like the things that you do, the things when we see a problem, like that came out of her hearing like from the guy down in York City going, you know what people need? They need socks and long underwear. I mean, and we can't even imagine like that's the most important thing. But so, yes, let's do that. So we gather together. We do things. And every month, your giving allows us to provide a room for battered women at YWMCA. There's a room there for when someone needs to check in that's provided by Action Church, and that comes from you. And the same thing with Bridge of Hope and Life Path, Food Bank, those type things. So because of that, and those are just things that we give to corporately as a church and as a people, we hope that you subscribe to the idea and on a regular basis put your love of God and your love of people into action in some way. And just full disclosure, just like, you know, I think the worst subscriptions are obviously ones you don't know what you're getting. I never fall for those. I guess people do because it's big business going, hey, we'll just send you something in a box. No, thank you. But I think the beyond that, the worst kind of subscriptions are the ones that you don't know how much they cost. Like that free offer thing where they don't tell you how much it costs. Well, this costs something. And we've been telling you that all along. Now, we're a weird church in the fact that we don't take up an offering for money. But we do tell you every week, like, this only happens if you admit that you come to Action Church. You have to invite your friends because we don't have any advertising. And you have to invest your time and money for this to continue and for all this time it has, because there's no guarantee with churches, especially churches with no backing. You know, during the time we've been meeting, obviously many, many churches have started in that time, and most of them, just by the odds, aren't existing, because at some point, if people don't invest their time and money and their talents, things don't happen. There's no reason they would. And getting involved, not just in the work of Action Church, but in the community of Action Church, we've been asking you all this time to subscribe to that. You know, take this offer and on a regular basis, subscribe to that. But the question I think we have to ask, and I've been thinking a lot about this, I've been praying about this, and I've been asking questions, like, as a culture and as a nation, what if people don't want to subscribe to church anymore? What if we come to a place, and we all have friends that would say this, and quite frankly, it would be really easy for all of us to get there, where we go, you know, I used to go to church. And I always tell you, just honestly, when we take a week off here or there, or that week that we take between Christmas and New Year's, I'd love to go, you know what, man? I was so bummed out. I'm always like, this is a great Sunday. Woo! You know, I'm like, well, I'm wilding out in my neighborhood because I got a day off. And so it would be really easy to not subscribe to church anymore. And quite frankly, whether you imagine church as being like pews and organs and stained glass, maybe some of you went to that kind of church when you were young. But if you think like stage lighting and screens and, you know, preachers with little headset mics on, if you think that's new, guess what? Your kids, that's their stained glass and pews. Like, they're looking at this in the same way, like, oh, yeah, that's just old church. You know, they have a screen, the guy gets up there. Because it's true, we all are traditional churches. We all do the same thing in a sense. Oh, another guy with a guitar. You know, like, we, even though we go, oh, the organ was boring, but, oh, this is great. Here's the thing, like, I was thinking, like, it all becomes tradition, and it all becomes, like, what if we get to a point, like that magazine salesman said to me, like, well, how am I supposed to sell magazines if people won't buy magazines? They're like, that's a good question. But I've also been thinking about this. I'm not done with the church or thinking, hey, we should wrap this up and, like, have a roller skating rink or something. Here's nothing wrong with a roller skating rink. Just first thing that popped into my mind. But, like, my thought is, like, maybe it's not church that's the problem. Just like it's really not Time Magazine that's the problem. Like, all of the things that Time Magazine set out to do, we still want. You know, it's not like we decided, nope, not interested in news and updates anymore. We just have a better way of sort of updating ourselves than waiting. You know, just the whole idea of a news magazine that comes out a month later on paper is silly now, right? Because it's like we're just inundated with news that happened 2 seconds ago. Like, why do I want you to print it up? That's just silly. So it's the delivery system. And the same thing with their free gift of a phone. Like, nothing wrong with that. Like, I still want to talk. I don't want to talk to people. I want to text people. It seems weird now when someone calls you, right? Like, I talked to Josiah this week, and I was like, it's kind of weird talking to him now. I don't know about this. Felt strange. But anyway, like, we still want a phone, and we still want our contacts organized. We just don't want to put them on paper cards. And so it's not, I don't believe, I was thinking about this, like this whole idea, everything that you think is old about church or everything that you think is outdated and antiquated about church, and whether that's the pews and the organs and the stained glass or the screens and the stage lighting and the pastors with headset mics, like all of those things, they don't really get down to what church is actually about. I want to give you, and I never do this, I promise you, like if you're here the first time, I'm not a, hey, this is what it means in the Greek guy. Not because I'm too cool for that. I don't know what Greek means. So I've graduated high school. I have no idea. But I actually want to give you this idea of what church is, because it's not what we think. Like anything you're thinking about church is probably to do with a building or a type of church or a denomination or a form of church. But that's not it, because when it says church in the New Testament, they're just talking about all the Christians. And there's sort of easy way to tell that, because they'll say like to the church in Corinth or to the church in Thessalonica or the church here, they're not talking to one group. Sometimes they are. There's one that's one. But many times it's numerous house churches, because they didn't have big buildings. So it would be numerous house churches gathering all over a city. So when the Bible talks about church, they're just talking about Christians in community. And it was derived from the word that means the Lord's house, which then we take to mean a building. Like you'll hear people, rarely they say that about this church because it used to be a club and we've not had a building. But here people go, yeah, I'm going to the Lord's house today, which has to seem weird to our friends who aren't Christians. Like, where does he live? You know, but that's sort of what it was based off of. So the idea, and we're going to sort of tease this out over the next few weeks, of the church was, number one, it's just people, which in the, you know, history of Action Church is pretty clear, because we've met at numerous different places. And, you know, at one point, if you wanted to say, where does Action Church live, it was that truck outside. Like that, if you want to just go, like, the church is there, we put all the church in the truck. So that, I guess, was the church. If you want to make church a place, it was wherever the truck was parked, that was church. But church is really us. Church is the people. And beyond that, it's the Lord's house. And it's interesting, because what the metaphor that the New Testament uses a lot is that we are building that house. And so whatever you think church means in 2019, and I almost said 18 because we're early in the year, you know, is different than what they thought in 1999 or 1969 or 1939. But none of those are really church. They were, you were thinking about like the format or the building, or but really church is people. And so I want to read you something this morning, and we're going to kind of expand on this all month, because it's kind of interesting to think about, like, not trying to get you to subscribe to church as our format, because that would be like sort of like trying to get you to subscribe to Time Magazine. It could work great. Like, if you look at the trajectory of Time Magazine, it's sort of the trajectory of the church in America. Like, there was a time when almost everyone went to church, just like it, there was a time when a vast majority of people read Time Magazine. But there's been no drop-off in people wanting to hear news. And there's no drop-off in people having opinions and wanting to see photographs of things and being interested in pop culture. No drop-off, even though Time Magazine went like this. And in the same way, sort of our idea of meeting as a church has been either the most popular thing or the least popular thing. It doesn't change this, is what I want to read to you, because this is the church. This is the idea that Jesus, the founder of the church, left. He said, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, and trust also in me. There's more than enough room in my Father's home. And if it were not so, would have I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? And when everything is ready, I will come and I will get you, so that you will always be with me where I am, and you know the way to where I am going." "No, we don't know," Thomas said. He got the nickname Doubting Thomas because of things like this. Like, Jesus is making this amazing point and this amazing rant, and he's going, "Hey, you know where I'm going, and hey, I'm going to prepare a place for you." And Thomas is like, "We don't have any clue where you're going." But I'm actually glad Thomas said that, and I'm glad it got written down, because Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to the Father except through me." So this is the ideas that the church was built around. I mean, this idea, think about this idea. Like, don't let your heart be troubled. Josiah said last week, which is so important, Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary, who are tired, because my yoke, my burden is easy. This is an easier way of living. And here he's saying, like, don't you want to live a life without worry and fear? Like, don't you want to have a sort of framework in place where there are no worries, where you're not concerned every minute, like, what's going on in the world, and what are my grandkids going to be safe, and are my children going to be, you know, prosperous in this world, or what's going to happen to my sons because of culture, or what's going to happen to my daughters because of culture? What if you could live in a world where, because of Jesus and because of his eternal plan, you could at least worry a whole lot less? And see, that, I think that's something even Americans in 2019, we'd like to subscribe to, right? Like, wouldn't you like to worry less? Wouldn't you like to have less of that pit of your stomach when you watch the news? Like, oh, what's going to happen now? What's he going to do? Or what's she going to do? Or what? That's what Jesus was saying. Like, don't let your heart be troubled. I've got a plan. And trust in God. Trust also in me. Now, here's the thing about that. Like, some of us, and if you're not a Christian this morning, you are so welcome. This is the place for you, because we want you to come in, be as skeptical as you want. I think you're super open-minded just to, because you're listening to a person like me. But what Jesus is saying here is, like, you could have a God you could trust in. Not just a God, because guess what? At that point, it wasn't like, we have a lot of people now who go, I don't believe in God, or I'm not sure about God. At that point, most people believed in a God. It was polytheism. Like, there were gods and idols everywhere. And so everyone might have their God, but they were certainly not gods that you could trust in. Not gods that you could trust to have your best interest. They were gods that you would appease to keep them from either injuring you or to sort of bribe them into being with you. But he's going, what if you could trust a God? There was a God that you could completely trust in, that literally was in control in the long term, and you could trust and you could just rest in that knowledge that he had a plan, even when it seemed like things were most out of control. See, that's something that I think we could ask people to subscribe to. And I think that's something that Americans still want. Like, we just, so little we feel like we can trust. You know, we don't trust in institutions. We don't trust in government. We don't trust in policemen. We don't trust in the military. We don't trust in anything anymore. So imagine sort of going, like, there's a God. Not a God who wants something from you, but a God who wants something for you. A God that you can trust. And then this idea. I love this idea. There's more than enough room in my Father's house. It's not like, I don't know about you, it works on me. Like, whenever I buy something on Amazon or I look at something on Amazon, it's like only five left. And I'm like, ah, there's other people right now competing. I must buy this now. That's not what he's saying here. He's like, guess what? We got plenty of room. And bear in mind, and we're going to talk more about these over the week, this is not just heaven. Like, this is not just heaven, because as I told you, their word for Father's house was ecclesia, which is church. He was saying there is more than enough room in church for everyone. There's more than enough room. There's more than enough. And here's the great thing about their model, and it's sort of true today, but we imagine it like, oh, that's a church, and this is a church, and they're all sort of segmented up. This was all the Christians were one church. Did it mean they were the same? Oh, no, they were not the same. Some were very poor. Some were very rich. And just like today, like, we had a prayer meeting here a couple weeks ago. All different kinds of Christians. I know that I've got brothers and sisters in Christ that are very different from me. And their gatherings are very different from ours, but that's cool. You know, I had a friend who was a little older, and he'd been married a lot longer, and he would say, you know, when it comes to marriage, Don, he's like, if you're both the same, then one of you is unnecessary. And I think that's the same with church. Like, church is going to be so different. As long as we are actual Christians who actually are following Jesus and making him the king, we can be very different. And that's great, because that's what Jesus was saying. He's like, there's more than enough room, not only here on earth, but in heaven. It's not just like, oh, just some of you are good enough, or some of you, you're accepted, but the rest of you, you're not. You're just not good. No, 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 there's room. And then he says this, and this is such a great thing, like, when everything is ready, And this just doesn't talk about heaven. This talks about this idea, because if you study heaven, we tried to last year. It was very difficult. But Revelation talks about actual what we call heaven as being a place on earth, like the earth is completely like Chip and Joanna Gaines and renovated and cleared out. And then heaven comes down to earth. And Jesus himself welcomes us there, and that's a concept I could get behind. Eternal community and belonging. That's what we're all looking for, right? In different ways, like in different sort of formats, like our country and our nation and the world. We just want a place that we can belong. And it's doing some horrible things and some good things, but we're like trying to get a team or a political group or a biker gang. Like, we need some place that we can fit in, or a culture or a subculture or subculture, because we're really cool. But like, we want to find a place that and Jesus is saying, listen, there's plenty of room for all of you. And when the time is right, like, I've got a plan where all of you could live in community and know that you belong forever. And then he said these words, like Thomas kind of calls him on it. And this line here, just, I don't know about you, but it calls out to me. Because he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Man, we need a way. I think that's what's so disconcerting about the world we live in. And we need truth. Because if it's sort of fun to go, hey, there's no truth. There's my truth and your truth. And hey, truth is subjective. It's how you see things. But after a while, it becomes madness. And that's what we're experiencing. And he's going, no. There is truth, and I am it. Bold statement. I'm not telling you this morning that you're going to believe that, or I'm going to make you believe that. But my thought is, wouldn't that be a great thing to be able to subscribe to? To know the actual truth? To have an actual way of living that was prosperous? And I'm not talking about just financially. I'm talking about flourishing as a human being and the life. Because everybody's peddling that. Like, in fact, most of those subscription boxes I told you about, like, are some sort of life. Like your fit life, or your fat life, or your, hey, pet lover life, or hey, this is about you looking cool and being impressive life. But wouldn't it be great to just subscribe and go, man, when I push this subscription, this would go, like, I need the truth, the actual truth. Whether I like it or not, the actual truth. And a way of living I could count on. In a lifestyle that was actually going to lead to flourishing. Not something that I'm going to be happy in short term, you know, like that diet that I think is great, and then I have some horrible complications down the road. Like, I need to know the truth, and I need to know a way. And then he said, probably the most infuriatingly arrogant, terrible thing to say, and Jesus said it, and this is what it leaves us with, is he said, No one can come to the Father except through me. That's the kind of claims Jesus made. And those are the kind of things that made people so angry, because they go, I like his teaching. He has some really good ideas. And it's amazing, like, you can read Jesus' teaching today, you know, thousands of years later, and you go, how did that guy who was a carpenter, like, who never went to school, like, he wasn't educated, he wasn't like, he wasn't sophisticated, he didn't travel. Like, how did he know these amazing things that still work? But yet, he would wrap it up with saying stuff like that, like, hey, nobody comes to the Father but me. I'm the only way. And that's a tough subscription. And I don't actually know that all of you are going to subscribe to that. I hope you do. That's why I'm here, and that's what I've done in my life. And you could ask people in the room, and we could talk to you and go, hey, I've subscribed to that thought that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and there's no other way, and I could tell you how that had changed my life. But that's a tough exclusive offer. But here's the thing I do think. Even if you don't believe any of that, you have to admit, and I think Americans are just voting for this with their wallet every week, like, some things are just more valuable on a regular basis. Like, there are a lot, you just can't one and done some things. There are things that you're just going to have to, and there are things that they want us to subscribe to because they want to make money, but there are things that only work when you actually follow through and you're a part of it on a regular basis. I mean, it's a really tired cliche, but I used to have 3 gym memberships, and none of them did me any job, were any good when I didn't attend. And that's Christianity. And we're going to sort of tease this idea out this month. And we're going to work through this idea of what Jesus talked about when he meant church and what the early church talked about and what we can take away from that, where even if all the sort of like, if there weren't any more, like, we don't have to worry about pews and organs because we've never been able to afford those sort of things. But what if stage lighting and screens are unavailable? How could we do church? There's so many things like that we think are part of church, But without any of those things, this is the idea. Now, here's the good news. I have a free gift for you. Operators are standing by. I love that about, and they don't do that. Well, they do the sad dog commercials. They do the operators are standing by, but I usually change the channel because I just can't take it. You just play some Sarah McLaughlin for me and I'll just give you money. It's just so sad. But there is a free gift, and I wouldn't be doing my job even as the worst salesman in the world without telling you this, and it's this. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, here's the thing about that, and we often take that as being sort of a threat. Like, hey, if you don't subscribe to this, I mean, think about this salesman, this sales spiel. If you don't subscribe to this, I'll just take you out. It's either hell or the magazine description, eternal damnation and torture, or no, that's not what this is saying at all. This is not God playing the hard sale. He's literally saying, here's the thing, wages, like you don't get wages because your boss is punishing you, you get wages because that's what you earned. He's like, by the way, what you earn when you don't live this path, when you don't do the I am the way, the truth, and the life thing, not my punishment, not God's going to get you. It's just the wages of that is death. And you know that, and I know that. And you might push back against me saying that, but think about this. Like, whenever we do things against God's plan, it leads to death. Now, not physical death. That's what Eve and Adam discovered when they ate the fruit that God told them not to. They were alive. But you and I know, we can just think back in time and we can think about how sin has killed relationships, it's killed opportunities, it's killed our reputation, it's killed our future, it's killed so many things, and so we know that if you read this the way it was written, this is just God saying, listen, that other way, what it leads to. It destroys everything. And I have a free gift of community and belonging and truth and worry-free living here on earth and something to strive for the rest of your life. And I want Ben to come back up here again, but it's so funny, like we read this and we kind of go through that list and we go, oh, that's so weird to imagine that you would change things in your daily life to go to another place called heaven that you don't know what it's going to be like and you don't even know. It's so funny when I think about, like, oh, that seems so weird to us, but I hear all the time, like, people going, hey, we're going to get to Mars. And guess what? We're going to have to travel there, and it's going to take so long, we'll never be able to come back, and we're going to have to go through all this training, and so people are signing up to go to Mars, which is this place we don't even know if you can survive, and we know we can't come back from, and we're so tired of Earth for some reason, we go, I'm willing to go live on Mars and freeze if they can get me over there somehow. But I understand it seems very odd to go, you know what? You could subscribe to a different way of living now and have eternal community and belonging. And so I want to talk about, over the next few weeks, what that is. And if you want to make that call and you want to subscribe to that and you want to subscribe to what church really is, man, we'd love to hear from you and we'll talk to you. Just go right afterwards. But I'm not even expecting that because it's not something we're going to ever hard sell you. But I'm just saying, like, what if all of our ideas about what church are wrong? And I'm not saying this is the wrong way. And I'm not saying the way you grew up in church is the wrong way. I'm just saying it was a way. But the point is that there's something amazing that's still going on. And I just want to invite you to subscribe to that and be part of it, no matter what the delivery system turns into in our lifetime or the next. Dear Jesus, God in heaven, we are so grateful for what you offer. And as I read through these scriptures and as I think about it, I realize, like, there's sort of something in there that everyone on the planet is looking for. And there's something in there that just call out to each one of us. And in fact, most of us, God, I know that I have tried to find those things in so many other areas. So God, I pray for everyone here today and I pray for everyone who will hear this in the future. God, I know that it's no mistake that they've heard this message. And so I pray that you would just deal with them through the power of your Holy Spirit. They would consider subscribing to your plan. In your name we pray. Amen.